frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Crap!
Ah! Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Of the United States, it alarmed me that a little country over in the Far East could actually cripple the United States. And realizing that the entire industrial base of the United States and the world is based on the supply and the utilization of energy, it became imperative that we must try to bring in an alternate fuel source and do it very quickly. Of course, I thought originally with the right type of funding, we could possibly get it in within 6 months. But reality shows that the 12 to 15 years was more correct in this projection.
Back in the 70s, Stan Meyer set out single-handedly to solve America's energy problems. He decided to do it using water, the world's most abundant storehouse of hydrogen, which is a far more powerful fuel than oil. For 15 years, Meyer has been fighting to get his inventions taken seriously.
Most inventors have to be a loner. You have to be somewhat thick-skinned and don't rely on other people to support you, because they will not. More times than not, an invention is really stolen from the inventors. Even in my prior development of high technology, I've had patents taken from me. I learned from the School of Hard Knocks to be very cautious.
Meyer has always stood out against the crowd. He has no formal qualifications as a scientist because he didn't wait to graduate from high school, leaving early to go straight into research at the high-powered Battelle Institute in his native Ohio. Now he works full-time as a private inventor. He's built a device with potentially revolutionary implications. There is nothing startling about a machine that can extract the hydrogen from water. What is highly unusual is that it should do so with ordinary tap water. The conventional method is called electrolysis. Meyer has turned that process on its head. Unlike electrolysis, his device doesn't use up large amounts of electric current, nor does it produce an enormous amount of waste heat. For 20 years, he has been refining a method to fracture water, which produces vast amounts of hydrogen on demand. This is not his latest apparatus. He was unwilling to let us point a camera at that. This is the simple device he used to convince a reluctant patent office that his revolutionary concept actually works. Alloy rods, acting as electrodes, are housed in a perspex container that's filled with water. Normal mains voltage is fed in through a transformer, but critically, there is virtually no current consumed, less than half an amp. The result is dramatic. Hydrogen pours off with a flick of a switch. Meyer claims the key is his electronics, which pulses electricity rapidly across the rods at up to 20,000 cycles per second. In a way that's not readily apparent, this process transforms the equation. Whereas in conventional electrolysis, three times as much energy is consumed as is produced in the form of hydrogen fuel, in Meyer's apparatus, the reverse is true. It appears to produce several 100% more energy than it consumes.
Stan has something that's characteristic of the people that sound like they've done something to tap zero-point energy. Has high frequency, high voltage, and there's a combination of the two at which something occurs. With Chernetsky in Russia, it was what he called a self-sustaining discharge. The tube would run by itself. When Stan gets this effect, the amount of hydrogen and oxygen that are emitted off these two electrodes is a step function. It almost boils the water. If I did this with standard electrochemicals, I need current, and the water should rise a degree every couple of seconds. With Stan's, it'll run for a half hour, and the water temperature hasn't changed. Something's different.
Meyer demonstrates this repeatedly without any difficulty, and yet on the face of it, it represents an extraordinary revolution. His measurements over the years suggest 1,700% greater efficiency than conventional electrolysis. And if he's to be believed, he's getting much better results from his latest, still secret invention.
Well, I first got involved with Stan Meyer when I went over there with a couple of colleagues to look at his water-splitting device. And so we arrived at Stanley Meyer. He had a demonstration cell. We filled it with tap water. In fact, I did that myself. And he switched it on. And almost instantly, the three jaws dropped because of the rate at which the gas poured off. It was quite spectacular.
Whatever energy source Stan Meyer had tapped, it was not explicable by the electric power that was going into it. So something was powering it outside of conventional wisdom.
There is no question that the gas coming off in such abundance is hydrogen. Meyer ignites it to produce a high-temperature flame able to cut through metal.
Stanley Meyer has faced a lot of difficulties. He's three times tried to launch the device and produce press conferences at the technical press round, but he's been almost universally slated. In the early days, very much so, they just ridiculed the whole idea. He's getting a little more notice now because some scientists are getting interested. But by and large, science is very intolerant, particularly modern science.
As with Tesla, Griggs and others, Myers' claims are so far outside the received scientific wisdom that they've been ignored by the majority of the scientific establishment. But then, Meyer has ignored them too. He has poured his energies over the last 10 years into establishing recognition for his claims by getting international patents.
In the processing, there was a great deal of difficulty in trying to process the legal paperwork in such a way as to allow the patent office to fully understand what was actually occurring. In one instant, we brought the water fuel cell to Washington, D.C., and of course I had tweaked it in such a way to produce an enormous amount of hydrogen and oxygen gas, and the patent examiner said, no, it will not work based on the electrolysis process. And when we turned it on and produced an enormous amount of hydrogen and gas, the examiner finally realized that we were doing exactly that, and went out in the hallway and started screaming and hollering to everybody on the floor, put out all your cigarettes, hydrogen's in the building. So we started laughing and said, well, we certainly convinced everybody in the patent office that we can do what we said we can do.
Even so, the U.S. Patent Office dragged their feet for 3 years before granting patents on the hydrogen-producing device. Since then, against massive resistance, he's managed to get patents established throughout Europe and Japan. But the hydrogen machine was only the first step towards Meyer's ultimate dream. If he gets it right, this application of his technology would change the 21st century in the same way that the Wright brothers and Carl Benz transformed the 20th. He is currently modifying a beach buggy to run on nothing but water. It doesn't have a petrol tank or even a hydrogen container. It has just a tank of water. He's invented a device called a water splitter to replace the spark plug. As the water is injected into the engine, Meyer claims it's fractured into hydrogen and oxygen, and then burned as fuel. Meyer is working on a kit to modify any engine. He hopes to demonstrate it on this car within 12 months.
And of course, the blessing to the use of the water as a fuel source, that on combustion, the byproduct is water mist. So we're even solving the environmental pollution problem at the same time that we're using water to maintain the industrial basis of the world.
Meyer is protective about his inventions to the point of self-confessed paranoia. Most observers describe him as a crank and his car as an aberration. But then madness and genius often go hand in hand. Meyer shares with many inventors a problem that goes well beyond paranoia. As an engineer with no scientific background, he faces a giant hurdle when he tries to communicate with scientists.
One problem is that the language that people use when they're trying to describe their inventions is not the language that I as a scientist am used to, and so I have to translate it, if you like, into a way that I can begin to understand what they're trying to say. It might as well be written in Swahili for all of the sense that it initially makes, and so I'm not particularly inspired to put a lot more effort in the hope that the pearl of wisdom will reveal itself.
Aw, crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. It's OSHA Ziz here. Hope you all doing well out there. That clip there was something that has probably annoyed me for quite some time. You know, I really get annoyed with this world. You know, Stan Myers was doing work that approximately about anywhere from 40 to 45 years ago that could have solved the so-called energy crisis of the world that, you know, I keep telling everybody there is no energy crisis. There never has been an energy crisis. Anyway, Stan Myers had built a dune buggy that literally ran on water, you know, and his way to fracture the water was essentially using high voltage and frequency waves to excite that water and split it and shoot it down into a atomizer and then into the cylinders in the combustion chamber. And so there's folks these days that are trying to replicate Stan Meyer's work, and hopefully they'll get it done and they'll get it out there to the general public. But the whole thing is, I get so annoyed with the so-called Green Party out there, you know, the people that supposedly going to want to save the planet and stuff, you know, run around protesting government buildings and getting beat up by police and this and that. That hasn't accomplished anything after all these years. If these folks want to try to really seriously get stuff done, they need to start backing the alternative energy researchers out there. There's a lot of brilliant minds in the alternative energy community. And that's one of the reasons why whenever I'm out there on YouTube, if I find somebody's channel, maybe they only got 30, 40 subscribers or maybe 100 or something like that, and I see that they're doing some really good research, that I want to try to help promote that channel. I want to try to get them more subscribers so that more people can be working on projects together and thinking critically, you know, towards a solution for what we're trying to do here. Because in every single one of their designs out there, you know, people, they underestimate their research. They underestimate how valuable that research is. You know, there's guys out there like Terry Woodruff and Brian Abrams that do some amazing things with their research, but I don't necessarily think that they really believe that their research is really that valuable, but it is. It's incredibly valuable, especially for the new guy coming on board or something like that that's interested in alternative energy. Excuse me. Because, you know, when you watch the things that they're doing with Slayer exciters and wireless energy and stuff, you know, it's, you know, Tesla technology from way back, still living on today, you know, things that that they do in their research benefit other people's research. Because instead of having to, you know, spend years trying to research up this information, they can talk with one another and share what they've learned, and it's beneficial for everybody. So essentially, if you used YouTube as like an online school, there's nothing you couldn't learn. There's a lot of people out there doing a lot of how-to videos and such. Excuse me, I gotta get a drink. Anyway, there's a lot of brilliant minds out there, and for me, that's a wonderful thing. As long as we can keep the YouTube community focused in on trying to think outside the box and help one another out and open source information, then I think that society would have a chance. Where my annoyance comes, where I get annoyed the most, is because of society as a whole. You know, the whole so-called climate change / global warming carbon tax issue that, you know, everybody who knows me knows that that gets under my skin, gets on my nerves. I got a doggone cold going on. Anyway, because, you know, if you really believe that the sky is falling and you really believe the time's short and the ice caps are going to melt, then you should be on any idea, every idea. You should be listening to every possible solution to cut carbon emissions. And as far as I'm concerned, they had the answer 45 years ago, at the very least 40 years ago. And, you know, in my belief, they actually had the solution back in the 1800s when Nikola Tesla and other brilliant minds were working on stuff. They didn't give guys like that credit, you know, and they didn't give Stan Meyer's credit. You heard in that little clip that I played there how much trouble it took 3 years just to get a patent on his information. And so, you know, with that said, doggone it, there's always somebody out there trying to drag their feet, trying to do whatever they can to keep people from getting away from the fossil fuel industry, the coal power plants and all that kind of stuff. While I'm not a proponent of carbon emissions and such, I still think that there's going to be an issue there that, you know, you're concerned about. And you know there's alternatives out there like Stan Meyer's research, burning water for fuel, and yet you're going to ignore them. Doggone it. Anyway, if anybody wants to call in, maybe you can help me talk here. I'm going to take a quick music break. Do-do-do-do-do.
A thousand people in the street. singing songs and a carry inside. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello everybody, sorry about that. Doggone weather changes, giving me a cold, whatever. Anyway, like I was saying, there's so many brilliant individuals out there, and I'm hoping to bring them all to light, and maybe even possibly be able to bring them all to the table and put all our resources and our research together and build the generator that we all keep working towards. You know, when I listen to this world out there, when all this stuff's going on out there in the world, all these wars and craziness, it just drives me insane. You know, there's really nothing to be out there fighting over outside of the natural resources. And you know, in my mind, it'd almost be a blessing if all the oil of the world just up and disappeared. You know, no crude oil whatsoever, and then everyone was literally forced to have to try some of these technologies that we've been talking about all these years. There, like I said, are so many different research out there, researchers, everything from the Wimshurst, the Van de Graaff, the Lord Kelvin generator, and so on and so forth. There's just so many different ones out there. And putting all those on the table and stepping back and looking at the big picture, it's easy for me to see, you know, a futuristic style generator that doesn't work off of conventional ideas. A lot of times I get myself in trouble because I don't use the terminology that everybody is expected to hear when you're talking about electricity and such. But like Stan Meyer said, you know, it's hard to communicate with people out there, you know, because, you know, he didn't go to college to learn what he did. He just did a lot of private study and managed to go pretty far with what he did accomplish. And the science guys out there, they're waiting to hear the scientific terminology so that they can understand what it is that he was trying to say. So I understand where Stan Myers was coming from. And I understand the frustration of Nikola Tesla as well. You know, all of this alternative energy research puts a target on your back, so to speak, as far as trolls and ignorance out there. But if you really cared, about this world and you really wanted to make it a better place, then my thought is that you would back all the researchers out there that are trying to work towards alternative or green energy. Doggone it. I just can't talk very well today. Anyway, if you feel like you want to call in and you haven't added me on, add me on as a contact. Shaziz on Skype, and just call in. I could really use some help today. But listen to all these people out there talk about protesting and standing up against the government and all this kind of stuff. I think the biggest problem is that they spend more time trying to fight against the government, who's never going to agree with them. It's never going to do anything. And every time you ask the government for permission, you always end up going through tons of red tape and nothing ever gets accomplished. It's we, the people, that's going to have to bring alternative energy to the communities of the world. And the all the answers are there. They have been all along. You know, we got a choice. We never either sit idly by and watch this world just fall apart, or we, the people, can get up and do something about it. You know, and going and trying to protest to government agencies and trying to get your congressmen and senators to listen to you, the track record so far hasn't been very impressive. You know, the technologies, like I said, they're out there. And I want to go out there on YouTube. I have been out there on YouTube, and I've been trying to find all the small channels out there, the ones that don't have very many views on their videos, and not very many subscribers. And I want to try to use my YouTube channel to uplift their YouTube channel to the point where they can get more people to see what it is that they're working on. There's guys out there working on magnet motors and hydrogen cells and Slayer exciters and Tesla technology, all kinds of research out there. And maybe they got a generator that's not over Unity, or it's not necessarily free energy or whatever. You know, that's not the point. The point is the research that they've got going on. While you're watching that machine actually function, you can see there's things going on in there that you could use towards building another device, or giving them pointers on how to improve the device that they're working on. I did a video, and I posted a link in the Shaziz chat room. Excuse me. I'm hoping I can make it through this show. Anyway, the video is called Idea Power. And if you go watch that video right there, you'll notice that I not only show how to run an old hard drive magnet just using 9 volts AC. That's not a self-starter. You got to spin it up with your hand to get it started. But once you do, it does run. And it's a real simple way to do it. And I also show in this how to use that magnet spinning on that platter to spin up a neodymium sphere to do even more work. Doggone it. And so there's so many potential ideas that could come up out of this thing. You know, a magnetically coupled generator. This is the reason why I keep putting ideas like this out there on the table, hoping that somebody will run with it, hoping that somebody will expand on it. Well, I also put a link to a photograph in the chat room that kind of explains what it was that I'm talking about. It's a HDD, hard disk driver, and Neo sphere motor generator idea. And all it does is show the basic concept of it. And you could take this and you could run with it. And, you know, that's where ideas are born. And also, I put in there a link to Laser Saber's Easy Spin Motor. And it's impressive that when you see this small motor, of how long it's actually ran off a crystal cell that that he's also did as well. And on top of that, I put a link to a video from Terry Woodruff in there of some research that he's doing. And if you have an opportunity to jump over there to ShazizRadio.com in the Super Chat Room, that's ShazizRadio.com/SuperChat.html, and just check out the links that are inside the video. And actually, you can scroll up and go back through the history, and you'll find other videos that were posted as well, you know, in previous shows and such. You also find links on the radio station there for the podcast, Old Science Podcast, and Knights of the Round Table, and much more. But, like I said, my frustration that I have with this world is because of all that I see. We have so much potential, and I don't feel like that it's even remotely being used to its fullest extent. I don't even think we've even scratched the surface. Some of the brilliant individuals out there are not getting the traffic that they should towards their YouTube channels. If you got a YouTube channel out there and you're doing alternative energy research or alternative medicines or whatever, come over to Shaziz Radio and post the link in the chat room down there. And I'll do my best to help promote your YouTube or your website or whatever. Anything that is beneficial to somebody. If you're trying to do a charity deal or you're trying to raise some funds for research or whatever, I'll try to get your information out there to people the best I can. And if you are listening in and you believe in what it is that we're trying to accomplish over here, you know, just look around the site and click on some of the links. Check out Awake Radio and Scottish Sovereigns on the Land and 1800 Online and TNSR Radio. Check out all these guys. Sit down and have a conversation with them. Make friends and contact them on Skype. And you'll find out that these are some really brilliant minds. These are some wonderful individuals from all different points of the globe. And they all have the same dream that you got, is trying to make this world a better place. You know, my little deal is alternative energy, but there's other folks out there in alternatives to just about everything that is the system that we all despise because of its track record. So if you got anything to add, jump over to one of these websites, you know. And there's also on Shaziz Radio website, there's a there's a button right underneath the Wake Radio chat room. It says click here for other radio stations. And I update this whenever somebody else comes on with another network and passes me on some links that they want their radio station promoted as well. Because this entire idea has nothing to do with making Shaziz Radio famous or anything like that. It's about the information. It's about finding the people out there, the connections, the friendship that we got going on here. To bring in the brilliant minds from all nations together, that's what it's all about. And so, you know, you can call in anytime you like. You can join in the chat rooms. You can network up if you got other networks and you want to broadcast or rebroadcast or whatever. As long as it's positive, uplifting, and important information that would benefit society as a whole, that's what we, the people, have to keep continue to do. I mean, we got our leaders of the worlds out there trying to start wars. We got them out there fighting over resources. And then they're always like, you know, well, the American people, most American people say, you know, no, they don't even talk to the American people. They don't listen to the American people. They just do whatever the heck they want. We all know the system's corrupt. most of the senators and congressmen and people of just about every office either bought out, sold, or bribed, or whatever. But they're obviously not doing what we want. You know, they go out there and they do all this hydraulic fracturing, you know, and probably untold amounts of damage being done by pumping all this stuff out from underneath people's foundations of their homes and stuff. There's this thing called hydraulic pressure. If you don't have hydraulic pressure underneath your house, then your foundation will crack. Believe it or not, it's a good thing to have some moisture underneath your foundation of your basement. It keeps that pressure going. When the ground dries out, well, then the foundation settles. And if you're pumping large gas pockets out from underneath people's foundations, that pressure of that gas was holding up that foundation. And when you pump that or water or oil out from underneath people's foundations, then the weight up at the top is too much for the rocks underneath to support. That's simple, basic science. But they ain't figured that out yet. And if they did figure it out, they don't care, because with hydraulic fracturing, they could be pumping a mile away from you, take all the hydraulics out from underneath your property, and now you got a sinkhole right in the middle of your property. Who's going to pay for it? Nobody. It's an act of God, according to them. And so with that said, you know, all these technologies out there, such as research 45 years ago, 40 at the very least, 40 to 45 years ago, Stan Myers built a dune buggy and he was running it around on water, pure water. He didn't even have to put no electrolyte in there, no kind of deal to make the water more conductive. His method by which using high frequencies and an atomizer to separate the water, the hydrogen and the oxygen in the water, which both will burn. And the best part about that whole deal is the exhaust out the other end, you got water back, because the hydrogen and oxygen would in turn recombine out the other side. Wasn't all these carbon emissions that they keep hollering about. You know, instead of making motors more efficient, they threw on a catalytic converter. Hey, it's all right, just let the motor be totally inefficient, waste a whole bunch of fuel, and then tack on a catalytic converter to re-burn waste fuel. Well, the key should have been the waste fuel portion of it. Should have been no waste fuel. They could have atomized that fuel before it ever even got to the combustion chamber and only use what they needed to cause the motor to run. You know, that's common sense of the whole thing. Anybody who goes out there and develops a carburetor that'll get a couple hundred miles to the gallon seems to either get their ideas stolen from them, or shelved, or bought off, or whatever. But we, the people out here, are the ones paying the high prices. We're paying the high prices with the ignorance of the wars. We're paying the high prices from electric and water and everything else. All of which should have been free from nature. We're surrounded by energy. We should have a better society than what we've got going on. But, you know, at the top, the guys at the top, they keep us all pitted against each other in every different direction in order to, you know, accomplish their goal, which is to get richer and to keep the power structure intact. We know better. We know what their plan is. And for the most part, we don't like their plan. And we have an idea on how to fix it. But yet, it's a matter of gathering up the troops and bringing them together and getting them to work together. You know, little pockets here and there, they kind of help out a little bit. If you pass this information on to your brothers and sisters around the world, and everybody knows of its availability, and everybody can back the research, one researcher backing the other researchers. I don't have all the tools that I need, but you got the tool that I'm missing, and I got the tool that you're missing, vice versa. We got the missing pieces of the puzzle together. And together, we can accomplish so much. You know, it's time for all the people out there in the alternative energy research to drop their egos. If you don't like what you're trying to hear from, if you don't like what you're hearing from another researcher, don't totally discount his research. Don't totally discount what he's saying, even if it sounds to you to be some sort of science fiction, outside the box madness. Because those bits and information are what stimulate other ideas. While you're in the process of thinking about how wrong he is, you're in the process of figuring out a solution to prove to him how wrong he is. There's where the benefit lies. In the fact that in the process of you respectfully disagreeing with this particular individual without trying to, you know, push him off to the side and tell them they're just stupid or something, you listen to their ideas, you show them where they're wrong, and you make progress that way. Out there in the world, they call people tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nuts. They'll do whatever they can to discourage anybody from researching anything that has to do with freedom and clean, free alternative energy is and has been available all these years. They still want you to know about it, so they don't teach you in school about it. The laws of physics are written in stone. They told the Wright brothers that it'd never fly. They thought they were nuts. Well, now you got jet airplanes in the air. There's many examples of that throughout history. What we got going on right here is not a lack of information. What we got going on is flat out a failure to communicate. Hey, there we go. Hold on there. Where's it at? It disappeared on me. Alright, well, it looks like Justin was trying to call in. See if I can get him back on here. Do-do-do-do-do. There you are. You're live on air, brother. How's it going?
It's going good.
Have you been cold today? Have you been listening in?
No. I was busy in the house.
Oh, well, Justin's here. He's here, but he's unprepared. All right. Well, anyway, what I was talking about, Justin, is the fact that it's going to take average Joes out here to solve the so-called energy crisis. We can't rely on government officials. But my main point was this, that there are many YouTube channels out there, small YouTube channels with only maybe a few views on their video, and maybe only 100 or more subscribers, and they have really good research information. Even the worst video out there with that shows an effect in science or electricity or whatever, that all these are worthy of looking at, because there's something in every single one of these. All the different alternative energy devices out there, there's things going on inside there, and you take one thing that may not work and you use that anomaly, that one port that does work inside that deal, and you expand on it. Now you see what I'm trying to say here, Justin?
Progression.
Huh?
Progression. YouTube's a community, no different than a community. We are all coming together, having conversations, showing each other videos. We're a community. We're piggybacking off each other's backs. We're teaching each other.
Yeah, and that's...
We are.
All of that's... It's valuable information. Even if you don't necessarily agree with the man's science, at least hear him out. Then you can use your critical thinking to prove him wrong, you know, in a respectful manner. You don't got to go out there and tell somebody they're stupid in order to prove your point. Just build something and show, look, this is what I figured out, you know, it's no disrespect, but I'm just trying to show you where you're wrong, but this is how you can fix it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's another thing too. Man's downfall is that we're always trying to prove each other wrong. We're always trying to get in front in the road. You know, like you're driving down the road, somebody's just got to get in front of you and slow down. But people are always doing that. But there's no point of that. Let's not prove each other wrong. Let's prove each other right.
Well, yeah, you know, we don't want to steer them off people in the wrong direction when it comes to alternative energy or things. We want beneficial things, but if they're actually taking the time to do the research and you can help them, show them where the portions are that need to be, you know, figured out, then together you guys can progress. Otherwise, you just split two brilliant minds apart, man.
That's right. Even though you might not get along, it's best that you should get along.
Well, I agree with you. And that's been my whole point altogether. And that's what Shaziz Radio and Shaziz Mad Science and all these different networks are all about, you know, is bringing these people to the table and the solutions to the table. We ain't got no time to sit around and argue with each other. We need to make this world a better place because this world's messed up. You know what I mean?
My thought on that is that we allow it to be like this.
Well, and I don't disagree with you on that, but there are individuals out there that's trying to fix it. And
there is.
And, you know, even the smaller YouTube channels down there, like I said, these guys doing these experiments, there's something to learn from watching their work. I mean, there's guys out there working on magnet motors that are just really impressive. And we know that guys like Stan Myers 45 years ago, or 40 at the very least, was running a dune buggy on water. You know? Why ain't we running on water now? The Earth's three-quarters covered in it. I mean, if you want to purify water, what better way to purify water than to run it through an internal combustion engine? You're going to get hydrogen and oxygen out the other side. You're not going to get all the carbon emissions like you would from fossil fuel.
Well, here's an example of what, you know, a simplified history of the early power transportation. In the 1600s, Simon Stephen of Holland made a wind-powered sailing chariot. In 1769, Nicholas Cugnot of France made a three-wheeler that did 3 miles per hour. And that's in 1769. You go to 1895, the first electric rapid transportation or transit in Chicago. 1895.
Yep.
Our education is not wrong. It's been steered, controlled.
Yeah, it's kind of like when they tell you, you know, that over unity is not possible or 0 points not possible. I don't even tinker with that. I just say free energy because when's the last time you got a bill from the sun? But it's a common sense thing. All right, Stan Myers was not burning up all the amperage that the modern-day electrolysis cells are burning up in order to try to produce hydrogen on demand. He used what he figured out from frequency ranges, you know, high voltage and such, to literally separate the hydrogen and oxygen. Then he also used what he learned from an internal combustion engine to build an atomizer that would send that water in a super fine mist into the cylinder. And, you know, anybody who has any knowledge of the past knows that how a diesel engine works, you know, and that the old farmers back in the day used to get their tractors up to operating temperature and then begin to inject in water to save on fuel. So,
that's exactly what's going on right now. See, to save on fuel, and it also burns hotter, right? That's what they're doing to our local gas companies. They're actually putting in water, the substitute for gas, and they actually increase the gas by 40% this year in Canada. That 40% that they increased it is the 40% of water.
Yeah, they probably call it high octane booster or something.
So now that it burns hotter, is that unsafe for what my furnace was rated for? The castings for the burners, is that heat now unsafe?
I don't think so. I think all you got to do is turn it back a little bit, turn the volume down, so to speak. You know?
Yeah, but what's that water doing in our lines? You know, if I make a fractional distillation thing here, which is kind of like a moonshine thing, and I take the gas out of my line, and there's water in there, is that not incorrect? The water is corroding the lines. It makes it unsafe.
Well, I would say that, you know, it's depending on what type of material you got for the line, whether it be stainless steel or aluminum or copper or whatever, you know. Either way, there's workarounds. There's technologies out there, man. For every problem out there, there is a solution. And that's why this whole deal is all here, is to put these solutions on the table and hopefully get brilliant minds to run with them. You know, if we can't get them to work together, at least we can give them an idea that they can think they're stealing and run off and make an improvement for humanity. You know what I mean? If I come up with a brilliant multi-million dollar idea and somebody runs off with it and claims it for themselves, I don't care. I don't care if they even get rich off of it. I'm just glad they took the idea and used it. You know, anything to advance society as opposed to dragging along. Heck, when I was a kid, I thought by the year 2000 we'd all be sitting there flying around in George Jetson style vehicles and stuff. You know, here we are in the year 2015 and we're still hollering about carbon emissions and fuel prices and such. You know, it's more than possible to build an electric car that rejuvenates itself while it drives. You can build you a combination electric car / hydrogen cell that using Stan Meyer's technology that will generate more electricity than that car needs to use, you know. Run your toaster and your air conditioner and your big old plasma TV in the back seat while you're driving down the road and still not run out of juice. It just, to me, it's crazy that we're not thinking along those lines. You know, that in one hand they're saying we got to save the planet, but on the other hand they spend their time out there protesting a government who just flat out don't care. You know, and I can say that because their track record stinks. If they cared about the starving children of the world, that problem would be resolved. We got helicopters, we got jets, we got everything we need to deliver the resources they need, you know? We got stuff on shelves everywhere that could benefit people of the world. But greed and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's just nuts. Yeah, I didn't have my microphone down there, Justin. Sorry about that. You still are?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, no, I could hear you. Yeah, there's a lot of things that, I don't know, I could talk about. Let's talk about the effluvium.
The what?
The effluvium.
Is that anything like a flux capacitor?
No, the effluvium is effluvia or effluvium. EFFLUVIUM. It's the atmosphere around every single element, including the earth, including our bodies. There's some materials that don't have it, that can have it. Ferrous materials, ferromagnetic, they're an empty glass, and when you put in a charge to it or electricity into it, it fills the glass up, giving it an effluvia. An atmosphere. Diamagnetic materials already have an effluvia, which is an atmosphere. So everybody's been debating for a long time between electricity running in the wire and outside the wire. From my readings, it doesn't run either. It runs from within the effluvia, bouncing off the material and bouncing off the effluvia. Just like light is showing that it comes into the earth, it bounces off, and then hits the atmosphere and bounces back down repeatedly, over and over and over. So, to me, from my understandings, electricity runs through it, between the atmosphere, the effluvia, bouncing off the copper, bouncing off the top of the atmosphere. Now, when you put too much in there, what happens is it stretches the effluvia, causes it to heat up and burn out, because it rips the effluvia, the atmosphere, apart, a hole.
Well, you know, nobody's ever got, to this day, a picture of the electron. So all of this stuff, you know, is for future learning. But, you know, you should really post a lot of that information so that you could show people what it is that you're talking about. You know, a lot of folks out there, and I don't use high-tech terminology because I'm trying to explain it in the average Joe's way of thinking, but there's something in common with every single form of energy out there. And whether you call it the effluvia or whatever you call it, every bit of energy out there, it goes in waveforms, you know, it comes in waves. The ocean waves, the wind waves, the acoustic waves, and, you know, electricity in general, you know. And so, with that knowledge, you could expand on that knowledge, knowing that you could pretty much get energy out of anything. You know, what we want to call it or not call it, that's neither here nor there. All we need to know is that we can get work done using these waves. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yep.
And so, you know, there is the answer to free energy, man. It's all around us. It has been all along, you know. And people's all like, oh, well, there ain't no such thing as free energy. Well, is that what your college education told you, or is that what you really know to be fact? Because I haven't got a bill from the sun. I haven't got a bill from the wind or you know, the rain, or the rivers, or whatever. They still haven't sent me a bill. Nature hasn't sent me a bill. You know, outside of the fact that one of these days nature is going to send mankind a bill if they keep doing what they're doing, and to some extent it has, because that all that hydraulic fracturing going on has taken its toll on a lot of people's property. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so common sense. You know, common sense has to rule the day. We can't keep going the way that we're going. We can't keep polluting our waterways and so on and so forth. It's pretty much like the fishbowl deal, you know. If you don't keep that water in that fishbowl clean, then, you know, the fish don't live. It's as simple as that. So we think we take a quick music break.
Sounds good.
And refresh our coffee and our minds and then come back. All right, everybody, you're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. I hope some of this information is beneficial to you. If you like what we're talking about and want to join in, or if you like what the mission of these networks are, then tell your friends out there on YouTube and Facebook and so on and so forth, all your social networks out there. Help us spread the word that there is hope and solutions to this mess we're in.
Stopping at the lower cap, back.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Shaziz Mad Science. I'm here with Justin. Anyway, you know, I talk about the frustration that I have with the modern society and the lack of encouragement that goes out to all the different brilliant minds around the world. And to me, understanding nature and paying attention to nature is the key to free energy, alternative energy, green energy, whatever you want to call it. There's so many different labels out there. The fact is there's overabundance of power available. We were talking over the break about lightning strikes. It's amazing how much energy that a lightning bolt itself has, whether it comes from the ground up or the atmosphere down. It is neither here nor there. The fact is, you're getting visible light out of this lightning bolt strike. You're getting heat out of this lightning bolt strike. You're getting an acoustic wave from the pressure difference in this lightning bolt strike, and you're getting a massive amount of high voltage in this lightning bolt strike, and potentially a whole lot more. And so just out of that one process, you can see that there is so much energy potential in just a lightning bolt alone. So, since lightning's going all over this planet 365 days a year, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, there is abundance of free energy there. And the fact that the wind's blowing everywhere at some given point, there is yet even more energy potential. The sun's shining half the day on one side and half the day on the other side, there's even more energy potential. Those of you who live next to the ocean and the waves coming in and out, those waves, you're not going to stop them by putting a little generator down there with paddle wheels on it to catch those waves in and out to generate electricity. There's even more energy potential. The consistency of the salt water itself is yet even more energy potential. Salt water batteries, if that doesn't ring a bell. The chemistry in your dirt outside, earth batteries, thermal electrics, you know, drilling down and hitting a warm spot in the crust, you know, and using that to either heat water or to generate electricity is yet even more energy potential. And so with that said, and knowing that there's so many different spectrums of light out there, light isn't just one color. There's all different waveforms in light, some of which you can't even see. There's, you know, dark light. You know, it sounds crazy, but think about infrared. Your eyes can't pick it up, you know, but there are systems out there that can. Use an infrared diode in your remote control in your deal. You're sending a signal from your little remote control over to the TV and switching your channels and turning it off and on and so on and so forth. So there's ways for those energies to interact with one another. So, you know, with that said, you know, there's so much potential out there. So much potential energy. And all you have to do is pay attention to nature. And you got it. It's as simple as that. What do you think, Justin? Did you leave me hanging there?
Sorry, my wife was just saying goodbye before she left.
Oh, okay. I hope you
told her
you loved her.
But I muted my mic. Light is everything. We're light. You can refer magnetism to light. You can refer electrical to light. You can refer biology to light.
Well, light is heat. Heat is light, vice versa. And so it wouldn't bother me to add anything else to the spectrum there, because we know that in light there's multiple spectrums.
Yeah, it's a wavelength that just keeps getting denser and denser, or however you want to put it.
Well, and with
shorter,
that,
shorter, however you want to put it. Yeah, light is everything.
With that said, every single thing out there has energy potential. And the only disagreement that we got amongst the alternative energy community is how to move energy from point A to point B. We're not arguing over anything different. We may be using different terminology to say what it is what we're trying to say, but we're not, even their own laws of conservation of energy. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So that tells me you're not creating it, you're not destroying it, you're just moving it from point A to point B. And in the process of moving it from point A to point B, you use that energy to do potential work. Am I wrong?
No. I wouldn't say you're wrong, no.
Well, you know, all I'm trying to point out to everybody out there is all these different ideas. You know, people, if you haven't had a chance to sit back and talk to Justin, you should catch him up on Skype sometime and pick his mind, because, you know, whereas I even have the problem, people don't understand what it is I'm trying to say a lot of the times. You know, I don't have the terminology to explain the way that their book told them that it's supposed to be said. And I don't look at electricity the way that everybody else looks at electricity. I look at electricity more of a mechanical view, such as water going through a pipe, you know. A big pipe, you know, you can get a lot of volume. A small pipe, you can get a lot of pressure. There's no difference between water flowing than electricity flowing. You know, whether it's on the inside or the outside, either way, it's still the same thing. You force a large volume of water through a large space, then everything's fine. You know, you got the current flow. If you force that same amount of volume of water, try to force it through a smaller space, then you're going to build up higher pressures. And that's where I think that big old crack that we call thunder comes from, when that lightning forces a sudden surge of pressure up through the atmosphere. What do you think?
Well, the atmosphere is what I was talking about. For instance, if we take a piece of brass or copper, anything diamagnetic, and we put it on a table, and we get a string and a magnet. You put that string on above your head, tied, you know, thumbtacked or whatever, and you put the magnet on it. You will notice that plate of brass or whatever material, diamagnetic or paramagnetic, has an atmosphere. That atmosphere gets stretched and it is no good. So, do we really need a coil? Because if it has an atmosphere, we can send a ripple down that atmosphere, which is a resonance or an oscillation.
Well,
so that's what I've been working with. I've been working with Tesla coils that are cylinders, no coils.
See,
I get this information from the Egyptian pyramids, because if you look at their Tesla coils on the Egyptian walls, they're the same, but they're not the same.
Well, see, if what you're talking about, you know, when you was talking about how there's an atmosphere around every material out there, the same system would apply, because the atmosphere would only be so big around whatever material. And so sending the wave across it like you're talking about would be the same method. You know, it would either be, you know, if you had a large atmosphere, you got a large volume that you can move. If you got a smaller one, you've got pressure build up trying to shove this energy wave down a smaller pipe. You know, so it doesn't change the basics, no matter how you look at it. No matter what you try to name it or not, you know, it doesn't change the basics. You know, you send a wave out. A microwave is a short, fast wave. You know, you can send out a slower wave. But either way, they're both still waves. they're going to get there, you know, no matter what. Do you see what I'm saying? The difference is how frequent they actually get there.
I see exactly what you're saying. Time varying fields. The coil, see, from point A to point B is going around, 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 around. It's accelerating, right?
Yeah.
When it gets to from A to B, it accelerated, okay? With a plate or a cylinder, it doesn't have to go around and around and around. It can accelerate from point A to point B much faster. That's the whole point of using a solid cylinder.
Yeah, well, Tesla did stress the importance of the surface area, you know, on the top load, you know, all that charge that builds up on there, you know, that's where you exceed that charge and the pressure exceeds, whether it be the atmosphere or whatever, it's going to break out. And it's going to interact with the, you know, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen in the air or whatever, you know, whatever the atmosphere is in your room where you're doing that, it's going to interact with it. Whereas normally it would be pretty much confined to just that general vicinity, you know, the strength of the signal, so to speak.
Yes. But it continues going around.
Yeah.
Like a transformer, right? You have coil A and coil B, and the iron core transfers the, well, for conversation's sake, the electron from one coil to the other coil, right? It's doing the same thing. The iron core is the copper or diamagnetic cylinder itself, because when it gets to the top, it gets squeezed to go down the middle.
And I think one of the key examples to what it is that you're talking about is the primary on a Tesla coil. You know, you can have a primary with small gauge wire or multi-strand wire, you know, pancake style or whatever style you want on there. But if you notice that a lot of the Tesla coils out there are using copper tubing and doing the same thing that they would be with multi-strand. You know, keeping in mind that the turns of copper tubing aren't in contact with each other because they're not insulated. You know, otherwise you could get a whole lot more surface area crammed into one tightly space if you could insulate between them where that energy wouldn't take a shortcut across there, so to speak. So, you know, what you're saying doesn't sound beyond the realms of plausibility to me because of the fact that they use copper tubing, which is a solid material, pretty much, that they're sending that energy wave through.
Yeah, see, what I'm looking for is, in the original equations of Michael Faraday, his equations, which we understand as Lenz's law, or as Maxwell's law, Lenz states in the equation, he puts a subtraction sign before the time change over the area and the base and stuff. He puts a subtraction sign in there and says the change must occur. I'm trying to create no change. Take the original equations and use the original equations before the subtraction sign, because we know from biology to light, everything consists of threes. The triangles, add, divide, and multiply. There's no subtraction in there.
Well, we know
to
that...
To me, subtraction is controlled. It's veered away from the reality to the truth, to me.
We know that energy, nature always balances itself out. You know, water will always find its level. We already know this, and pressure will balance itself out. And the pressure difference between one side or the other is what we use to do work. You know, when that pressure releases going to the other side, creating that stream or that wave, we're using the in-between portion of it to do work. We haven't changed anything in the dynamics of how that energy moved from point A to point B. All we did was tap into the natural wave that's coming through. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, definitely. That goes along with... compasses. We shouldn't just be using compasses to try and capture these waves. We should also be using a vesorium. A vesorium is a diamagnetic compass that it sees an electrostatic charge, like a galvanometer. it's much more accurate, though. William Gilbert was the one that designed it. His book is De Magneta. It's a good book.
Well, there's a lot of old books out there that should be, rejuvenated out there. Good information. There's some old books that are really fascinating. The Aldell's New Electrical Library, and people should go out there and check out those old style generators and electricity from the past, because in my view, they had better stuff back then than they do now. Granted, we've got some more exotic materials and are able to build better rotors and stuff like that because we have machining tools and so on and so forth, but the stuff that they had back in them days, I mean, prime example is go back and look at an old tube type radio that was in the old automobiles. Now keep in mind, in those days, some of them automobiles were running off of 6-volt electrical systems, and some of them were running off of 12-volt electrical systems. But either way, they were able to literally run what would be the equivalence of a household appliance in that vehicle, because it takes a little bit more energy to energize those vacuum tubes. They had literally had a house stereo inside the car. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's old technology. You know, that's not new. They were doing something wonderful back then.
Yeah, vacuum tubes are what I work with. And let's take a C-type tube. It's the same as a PNP transistor, but a PNP transistor is a solid-state transistor. It gives you one math equation.
Yeah, but the difference between the tube and the transistor is you could push that tube harder without having to worry about burning it up.
Yeah, it's not solid state. You can get you get a regulator on it, right? And you get many more equations. So the bigger the bottle, the thicker the glass, the larger the equations you can get with it. If you take a complete bottle and you vacuum it out, and I'm saying 3 feet long, it's the same as a solar panel. The particles that are coming from the sun become fat and lazy on the ground under pressure. That bottle that you relieve from pressure, they see that and they go to that and they stretch out. And then after that, you spin them, giving them a high velocity, which gives them a workload. You're transmitting light in the current, and you could transmit current in the light.
Yeah, and, we could sit here all doggone day and we could talk about all these different technologies from the past, because there are so many of them. My biggest fascination with the past, and it does have to do with vacuum tubes as well, is the fact that the mercury arc rectifier was an amazing piece of technology that was way back when. You know, that was essentially the first plasma reactor. You were taking high voltage AC and basically causing a dead short with mercury, which was a liquid metal, heating it up to the point where it literally vaporizes into gas, and the continuous of the high voltage AC coming in would then energize those gas molecules into the fourth state of matter, which is plasma. And that plasma would build up such a pressure inside that tube that the electrons could only flow in one direction, so they'd come out the other side as high voltage rectified DC that they could still run Edison's high voltage DC motors on Tesla's AC current.
Yep.
And that was in the 1800s. And, modern day technology, they're taking radioactive rods, refining them down, radioactive material, refining it into a compact, super hot material, and they're boiling water with it. And to me, that's about the stupidest thing to do. There's other ways to boil water.
They're crazy. from the radioactive material, the isotopes, they come off out into the water.
Well, and the thing about it is that, you know, even that radioactive waste, which everybody's so feared of, I'm not afraid of it. You know, I'm kind of on belief of the nuclear scare scam portion of it. There's a video out there people should check out. Anyway, anytime that radioactive material is deteriorating, when it's decomposing, or what's the word I'm trying to figure out here? Either way, as that radioactive material is deteriorating, it's releasing energy, and that energy can be detected, you know, by certain types of detectors. So it tells me that it's releasing an energy wave, and that energy wave, it doesn't matter what wave we're talking about, can be tapped into. And so you could literally put a whole bunch of coils down inside the chambers where they store all this trash and use that for energy potential, energy generation. It's no different than taking a radio transmitter coil on one side and having a receiver coil on the opposite side. All you're doing is picking up that wave. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, even in the trash, you know, even in the trash, there's energy potential. You know, and it just, to me, it's so super simple. And it boggles my mind how here we are even talking about free energy, you know? Why? I mean, it's there, but we have to talk about it because... I'm trying to add Muddy in here, and he's trying to call in at the same time. Crazy. And, you know, the fact that we even got to talk about it, it's just the proof positive how the doggone system is just so backwards, you know. Look, if you're the guy selling oil, you don't want the guy selling. You don't want the guy saying, "You got me echoing, brother." If you're the guy selling oil, you don't want the guy that tells you can run your car on water. You don't want him out there telling. That's common sense. And so, you know, they're going to do whatever dirty deeds they can behind the scenes in order to ensure that you don't run your car on water. But while they're talking up the side of their neck, talking about the whole global warming / reducing your carbon footprint shenanigans, there was a guy 40 to 45 years ago that was running a dune buggy on water. You know, practice what you preach is what I'm trying to say. You agree or disagree?
As far as running on water, I don't think that's a very good idea.
Well, you know, hey, it's cleaner than fossil fuels.
Why not just use electricity?
Well, look at the go-karts. That's what I'm saying.
Audi, Yamaha.
That's a great idea.
KTM. There's a Formula One race car. Look on YouTube. There's a Formula One race car that's electric. It charges wirelessly. Like I said earlier, right? The first electric car was what? In the 1600s?
Well, you just hit a key point right there. And welcome to the show, buddy.
Why combustion?
Justin.
Yeah.
You hit a key point. You said wirelessly. Imagine if you took the time to, instead of just building a road, you implanted into that road some magnets or some sort of electromagnet, and as you're driving down the road, you're charging that car up every time you pass over one of them spots. You see what I'm saying? If you design the infrastructure, the main roads, to be able to literally charge this, you could store enough energy to whenever you wasn't over this system to run your car up into your driveway or whatever. You see what I mean?
I believe that there is some places that you can plug electric cars into, and they actually use solar panels in the workplaces to charge the cars.
Well, probably so, but what I'm saying is you wouldn't even have to do that. With the right infrastructure, you'd literally have a road that, while you're passing your car across that the road, you could be doing one or two. You could be doing two things at the same time. You could be putting juice back into the system, and you could have that system charging your car as you're driving down the road.
The EV1, the EV2, and EV3 by GM was electric vehicle one, and basically they didn't sell the cars. They rented them or leased them, and it was just mainly an experiment. But all over California, airports and all over the place are these like little carports. If somebody doesn't know what a carport is, just a roof just a roof with some stilts, and you park under it. And that was made of solar panels, and each place that a car parked there, you could take the charging paddle and slide it in the slot, and all over California was free charging stations.
Well, that's brilliant.
And all that stuff. Yeah, so, I mean, it definitely took care of California's EPA standards and all.
You know
these,
what?
These electric cars were doing real good. The first ones, a lot of people wanted to buy them, and they took them back, and then there are a few that actually did get sold, and I believe that they are selling them now. You have to look up the EV1 from GM.
You know what I'd like to see, buddy? I'd like to see somebody go out and get one of the old-style slot car tracks and put some coils on that track, underneath that track, and figure out a way to put some magnets on that little car, and then vice versa, have some coils inside that car, and have that car, as it's spinning around that little slot car track, not only putting juice back into the track itself that helps to feed the battery that is actually running the car, but have, as the car is going across that track, energy being pushed back up into that car. You see what I'm saying?
No.
So you're playing your little slot car and you're driving around and the track is charging your car up, literally. And your car is charging the track up, vice versa.
That takes some trick there.
Yeah, but either way, it's proof of concept if you could get it to even run just the lights alone, you know. The lights are taken away from the energy that the track is pushing into the car. If you could have the lights on the little slot car being run by wireless energy coming from the track, that's not involved with the actual energy put into the track to get the car to run. And so when you drive around, your lights will come on as you're passing across either magnets or coils. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ed Varian.
Oh, okay. Well, we got 10 minutes left here. Let me see if I can get him in here.
He says, how about magnets in the wheel that changes as you drive? He was saying the same thing you were, but I'm not a scientist.
Yeah. Tell him I'm trying to get him in here. Anyway, there's, like I said, there's so many different possibilities here, man. You know, we don't have no excuse for not having alternative free, clean energy, whatever you want to call it. We don't have no excuse. I mean, all the technology's been around forever and a day. We don't have no excuse for putting radioactive material in water to boil it. There's other ways to boil water. You know, solar, you can boil water solar, and you can actually store hot water. They call it thermos, man. You know what I mean? Are you guys still there, or did I lose you?
I'm here.
All right. Well, you put your hot coffee in your thermos, and then it keeps it hot until you get around to drinking it. So
that's it, though.
You can store that hot water during the daytime and use it at night.
Yeah, they store salt water, highly salted water. They store a lot of heat in that, and they put it in like a thermos deal, because salt holds a lot of heat.
Well, we're talking about amazing energy potential, man. And so there's no reason, no excuse why we can't do exactly what we're talking about. You know, we've talked about things, and Justin was pointing out some things that were in the 1600s, in the 1700s, all the way up to the 1800s. Technologies has been around for as long as recorded history. And there's only one reason why we're in the shape that we're in, and that's due to greed and somebody trying to get rich off of the whole power system or whatever. So how you doing there, Barry? You there?
Doesn't look like he's picked up yet. Oh, he dropped back out.
Oh.
Bad signal, I guess.
Yikes. All right, well, we're down to the last 7 minutes of the show anyway, so sorry, Barry. But, you know, what do you guys think?
I think if we went to electric vehicles, we could do a lot to save the planet. I think there's many ways. I've seen people want to put a wind turbine on a car, and I tell them, no, that's more wind resistance, and it's lost and stuff like that. They want to do a full circle deal. Doesn't work like that, but it is free energy. The wind does blow. If you run out of some, then you run out of electricity, pull over the side road, put your wind turbine up. There's plenty of breeze from all the cars going by and extra breeze. Charge it back up, keep going, plus your solar panels. Now, the solar panels could probably charge your cars as it goes, but it's still going to have a resting period.
There's ways.
There's lots of ways to have free energy.
There's ways.
It's about the best.
There's ways of tapping into the aerodynamics that I'm sure you could actually do that without getting too much drag, but I think the best bet is going to be in the wheels, where you build a high voltage system that charges, you know, at a rapid rate, you know, while you're driving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I wish you guys would have got in here earlier. This has been a brilliant conversation.
I just woke up. And I said, oh no, I looked at the time.
Me too.
Well, anyway, we're like down to the last 6 minutes. You guys got something, an important message you need to get out?
Editing of Muddy's videos is resumed again. Sorry about that. Yeah, you should start seeing some video on Muddy Muddy Mudman on YouTube again.
Cool.
So,
well, I liked your videos, man.
Yeah, me too. It's been over a year. That's not good.
But, well, you know, like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of little channels out there on YouTube. Some really brilliant minds, you know, guys and gals doing research that they don't have very many views and they don't have very many subscribers, and I want to try to help promote those individuals, you know, with the number of subscribers I've got on my YouTube channel. I think that if I could push you know, people towards them to see their research, all these little bits and pieces from all these separate researchers, you know, maybe the one device by itself isn't as impressive as you would need it to be. But what it is another piece of the puzzle that can be expanded on. That's why I did that video called Ideas. So, you guys got any thoughts?
Your turn, Barry.
Barry?
Well, listen, I was like muddy this morning, guys. I slept in, so I just got it for the last 15, 20 minutes to this, so I kind of missed the show, I got to be honest. But
well, you know, there's always the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm listening to that for sure. I'll make sure I get up and set my alarm clock. But yeah, what you're talking about, cars with wheels, with magnets in the wheels, man. I was looking at a link that Larry Wood sent me here this week about a company in Germany that's going to release a prototype next week, or next year. I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not. But
well, send me links. I'm always interested in that.
Yeah, I'll send that link to you when I get a chance here. He just sent it to me a couple of days ago. They are going to have a prototype on the market next year, and this vehicle will run itself down the road and have enough energy left at the end of the day. You can plug it into your house and run your house and off some of the energy you've built up during the day driving your car around. So, this technology is telling you, I'm not a scientist, but I know that it has so many answers to the problems that we're facing today as a planet. I mean, free energy is a reality, guys, and you've got to grab it.
Yeah. I think the most efficient type of vehicle I think the most efficient type of vehicle is actually a three-wheeled recumbent bike called a Velomobile that's got a full-body air dam. I've seen guys pedal these suckers up to 80 kilometers per hour. That's just human power. And they got bicycle assist that you can put on there. And I think with an electric motor and a little bit of a wind turbine, a three-wheeled bicycle like that is a great form of transportation.
Well,
you don't need a license for it. You don't need insurance. You don't need anything.
The fact that a human-powered vehicle can do that is impressive.
Yes.
Anyway, guys, we're docked like down to the last 2 minutes of the show, but, you know, it's been a brilliant conversation, and I hope everybody joins me on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. And sorry about all that hacking and gacking earlier. I've been fighting with a cold, but either way, you know, the people out there who care about this planet, y'all got to start practicing what you're preaching and back the alternative energy, guys, because this energy out there that we're talking about, it does exist. And we got to bring these brilliant minds to the table. If it ain't my table, bring them to somebody else's table and get something positive moving forward. Don't ask the government for permission because you're going to have to go through tons of red tape, you know. If they don't want you having a solar panel, they put it in the bottom of your swimming pool. That way they can't even see it. They won't, out of sight, out of mind, you know. You'll make that panel work better. Anyway, it's as simple as that. We got the brilliant minds out there. We've got all the technology that we need. These guys need to practice what they're preaching. Talk about reducing the carbon footprint while guys like Stan Myers 40 to 45 years ago, 40 to 45 years ago, was driving in a car run off of water. And we could do it today. And we don't have to use water. We could use straight-up electricity. We've shown over and over and over we've proven free energy. And when I say free energy, you know, it's going to cost you a little bit to build a device of some sort. But when's the last time you got a bill from nature? The moon, the sun, the earth, the water, or whatever. When's the last time Mother Nature sent you a bill? Outside of the fracking episode, whenever your house foundation fell in, but... We'll talk about
don't
that.
Don't worry about it. The government's working on that one, should it?
Oh, yeah. But the insurance companies say it's an act of God, so they ain't going to pay.
Oh, now you got the head of Nestle Corporation saying that people don't have the right for water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so interesting.
All right, guys. Well, we got to run because we're running over, and it's time for the Hope Show. So I hope everybody stays tuned. Beverly works hard on her shows, and she does a good job. Love her to pieces. Anyway, y'all take care. You've been listening to Mad Science. I hope you join me on the Knights of the Round Table, and this show podcast will be up as soon as possible. And just, if you like what we're doing, pass it on, okay? Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.